NPR.
Here at The Indicator, we've been watching this fiasco around the Taylor Swift tour last week, and it's made us a little crazy. But, you know, we don't blame Taylor. When Ticketmaster carved out a pre-sale for registered fans, it got an enormous 14 million users. And that was way more than expected. You know, some of those users were bots. They were scooping up tickets fast to resell straight away. You know, they were scalpers. Ticketmaster's site crashed, the sale to the general public was cancelled, and scalped tickets were on sale for as much as $28,000. Of course, fans are angry, and so are lawmakers. Connecticut Senator Richard Blumenthal tweeted, "Consumers deserve better than this anti-hero behavior." Little reference to Taylor Swift there. But, you know, just stepping back and looking at this from an economist's lens, ticket scalping is a bit of a puzzle. Like, you don't see bots and scalpers in the market for, say, toasters or beanbags. So last year, I dove right into the world of ticket sales. I tried to get tickets for my favorite pop singer, Charlie XCX. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Darian Woods. For today's show, we are replaying that episode where Stacey Vanek-Smith and I learn about ticket scalping with the help of our intern at the time, Taylor Washington. We'll find out why ticket scalping happens, who loses out, and who wins from this bizarre market. Now, we knew Charlie XCX was going to sell out within minutes of going on sale. And Ellen Sorensen, an economist at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, says that this suggests that the $54 that she was charging was way too low.
Well, obviously, because she left a lot of money on the table.
Ellen says this is very common in the music industry. Concert tickets that are much lower than what people would be willing to pay for them. And Ellen says there are two main explanations. One, artists really don't want to risk playing to a half-empty room because their tickets were too expensive. And secondly, the artist doesn't want to be seen as ripping off the fans.
For some fans like you, they are doing a favor, right? $50 instead of having to pay $80 or $100. But they're also doing a big favor to scalpers.
Scalpers. Those ticket resellers are the sworn enemy of the music fan waiting in line to buy tickets. Fans like me waiting in this virtual line for those Charlie XCX tickets. Okay, it's already 10.
Okay.
I'm gonna buy some tickets. Join the queue.
Oh no, is the queue already?
What?
Ticketmaster put Darian in a virtual line on their website.
Oh, 494 people ahead of me.
Oh my goodness.
It's not even, it's
Wait,
just 10.
What? It just hit 10 just now.
I don't know. I think you should start praying to somebody. Like,
we were not happy about this, and we just knew there would be scalpers and their bots waiting to sweep up those tickets and put them straight into the resale market.
Unable to proceed.
Oh.
This may be a flop.
I think they're gone.
What?
Wow. We went it right at 10.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
That's fine.
Sucks.
That's fine. So
no,
the only option now is to like pay $400 or so to scalpers.
Actually, it was more like $100, but still.
Yeah, the Charlie XCX fan in me was seething at the scalpers. But, you know, my economics mind was still curious about whether the scalpers were performing a useful function here. Like, how did they shape this weird market?
And this is something Alan and his co-author Philip Leslie tried to answer when they got their hands on some ticket data. Data on over a million ticket sales from 56 concerts in the mid-2000s.
Dave Matthews Band, Eric Clapton, Jimmy Buffett. Oh, Madonna was in there. Prince, rest in peace. Rush, Shania Twain, and more.
Alan and his co-author pored over this ticket data. And they looked at how many tickets were being resold on what's called the secondary market.
And the first finding was that anywhere between about 5 to 20% of tickets were resold on StubHub or eBay. And there's a reason why scalpers actually target some concerts more than others.
This was correlated with how underpriced the tickets appeared to be. So it was the tickets that were most underpriced that were most likely to be resold in the secondary market.
But the person who most wants that ticket, a superfan, might not be the person who has time to go online for a half an hour at 10 a.m. to get it.
But then there's this other type of ticket buyer. Maybe they're a 30-something who vaguely remembers the song I Love It from 10 years ago. Let's call her Dorothy. An economist would call Dorothy a low-value audience member and the superfan, i.e. me, a high-value audience member. And I would be paying a lot of money for that Charlie XCX ticket.
And that is where, says Alan, scalpers can actually help the market because they can move tickets from people like Dorothy to fans like you, Darian.
Yeah, so Dorothy can find something else to do. Like maybe she can go see the Lehman Brothers play on Broadway, which, by the way, is fantastic.
Scalpers do create value, but some people are worse off because of resale. And the thing that's sort of ironic is the people who lose are the people who end up going to the concert.
By that, Alan means the scalpers extract all the money they can from the superfans. And that could squeeze the joy out of a concert they've really been looking forward to. And of course, none of the markup is going to go to the artist or the venue. The only real winner is the scalper.
And yeah, in any market, there are winners and losers. But Alan says it's more complicated than that.
The problem with scalpers is that it's the prospect of making this money that induces them to do all kinds of inefficient things to get those tickets, right? So they're the ones that jam up the website at exactly 10 a.m. Or in the old days, they're the ones that have hired people to stand in line at the box office. And so the line's really long.
So given how much energy is expended from the scalpers, Alan is pretty skeptical whether scalpers make the world better off, even from a dry analytical viewpoint that likes to see Dorothy watching Broadway plays and you, Darian, seeing your favorite pop star.
You have these presumably smart people that are spending their time just sort of scrambling to write bots so that they can buy up tickets and profit from that, right? Like, that's not a particularly productive thing for people to be doing. It's just skimming cream off a market.
Ticket companies have tried, mostly half-heartedly, to limit scalpers. They've restricted the number of tickets that you can buy at any one time. They sometimes make you show ID at a show. And some have apps where you can only transfer tickets to other people with the same app. But big ticket companies like Ticketmaster haven't really gone hardline. Like, they haven't tried to ban the resale market, for example.
As for the Charlie XCX concert you wanted to go to, after almost giving up when it looked like all the tickets were gone, we refreshed and refreshed and refreshed the pages. Taylor was jumping in, clicking buy, buy, buy.
That's right.
I was trying to click buy, buy, buy. And then something happened. I think it might be one ticket.
That's fine. I can have fun. Among the Charlie XCX angels, I'm never alone.
Yeah, that's true. And I also
then, after an agonizing 10 more minutes of refreshing.
Oh, actually, sit tight. We're securing your verified tickets. We are currently working
on
your request.
Oh my God.
I'm actually shaking.
I've got your back. I've got your back.
You got him.
Woo!
Yay!
Woo! We got you in. We got you in.
Oh
my God.
Gosh.
Dream team, Ticketmaster buying team.
It was a bloodbath. It obviously was a bloodbath.
This show was produced by Brittany Cronin with help from Gilly Moon. It was fact-checked by Taylor Washington. Viet Le is our senior producer, and Kate Kincannon edits the show. The Indicator is a production of NPR.
Vroom, vroom. That's like the fan favorite song.
Can you sing like a tiny bit?
Vroom, vroom. Beep, beep. Let's
beep,
ride.
Beep. Let's ride.
Yes!
Beep, beep. So let's ride. Let's ride.